This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. At least I hope I'm driving home. The little car is it's getting a little old. You know, it's getting a little old. Aren't we all getting a little old? I know I'm getting a little old. It's been a good week. Things are starting to even out a bit. I really enjoyed the podcast last week. I don't know if anybody else did, but I enjoyed the podcast. That was fun. I think we're going to have to make that a yearly tradition, that we go see the Star Wars movie and we critique it on the way home. Unfortunately, I guess the next saga Star Wars movie is not going to be until May. So episode 8 is May of 2017. So that's okay. That's okay. That's all right. There's an episodic Star Wars movie, I guess, coming up in December. We will have to see if it rises to the level of worthiness for us to go see it in the movie theater. We'll see. Of course, you know, now that I did the podcast on Star Wars, Episode 7, I suppose we should really do the same thing for Star Trek Beyond, which will be coming out. Not really sure when it's coming out, but it's coming out. I mean, they've done some previews on it, so it can't be that far away. Maybe it's May or so. This might just get to be a thing. Have to take my kids and my wife to see a movie and talk about it on the way home. I do need to put the recorder in a different spot than I did, because I was too loud and the kids were too soft, and the net was fine. So I think I'm going to have to put it on, like, the console between the two bucket seats in the front of the van, so that we pick up the kids better, and then it kind of damps me down a little bit. But all in all, I enjoyed that. I mentioned last week that there had been some interesting things come along of that week, and I said, well, maybe I'll talk about those on next week. And so now is next week, and we'll be getting to those in a minute. Everything's puttering along with work. Got a lot of good work accomplished this week. We got a quick little side project we're going to be starting on an enhancement to the reporting system we did last year, just as a way to tell people, hey, we're still out here working on other things, but here's a little new toy to play with. Poof, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm going to be starting that next week. I have one more little piece to do that I didn't quite get finished up. But we're going to start that next week. And, we'll see what we can do. Gas is $1.56. E85 is $1.32. Wow, I know some people are going, woohoo, cheap gas. But I told my wife, I said, you know, if I could guarantee that my money was going to American corporations who were going to use oil, domestic oil, as opposed to imported oil, I'd be happy to pay $2.50 a gallon for it. Because these low prices like this are not great for domestic oil production, especially all the shale oil production stuff. Of course, I was reading today that, there's a lot of earthquakes happening in Oklahoma. Not horrifically serious yet, but order of magnitude more earthquakes. Like in 2013, they had, I don't know, 40 or so. 2013, they had like 50 or so. 2014, they had like 400. So they think it has to do with the fracking. So that will be interesting to watch. There was a ruling yesterday, and I just mentioned this because for everything I'm about to talk about, as far as how things went, you know, last week, honestly, for me, this would be more of a bad day. I'm sure you all heard about the photographer who goes tramping way out in the hinterlands. He sets up all his equipment to shoot shots when someone comes in front of the camera. So a monkey, I don't know, it was a macaw or something, anyways, comes in front of the camera and takes a couple of selfies by leaning, you know, hitting the button, do whatever it did, triggered the shutter on the thing, and there's this great picture of this monkey taking a selfie and smiling. Well, it's just a fabulous picture. And you can imagine the photographer, he's made this huge trek, and he's got this once-in-a-lifetime shot. He thinks, yes! And he brings it home, kind of starts showing it to some people, and they're all, that's great! Well, those people post it on the internet, and then other people grab it, and he starts saying, whoa, 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 that's my copyright. I'm the one that took that. So they go to court. And this happened a couple of months ago, that they went to court, and in fact the court said, no, you don't own the copyright on that, because you didn't actually take the shot. The monkey took the shot. Oh, this is a killer. The monkey took the shot, so it's not your shot. Are you kidding me? Oh, that's rough. Well, I guess yesterday. I don't know if he filed a lawsuit to say, well, I'm the monkey's representative. I don't know. I don't know if he did that or not. You know, just trying to say, look, I'm the agent that represents the monkey because I took the photos. Well, yesterday the judge came down and said, no, monkeys cannot own copyrights. So, yeah. So nothing really. Nothing really that happened to me this last week and a half really has anything to compare with that, because that would just be a bummer. Go to all that work and get this fabulous shot, and then it's in the public domain. Ugh. Anyways, so I'd love to tell you that the writing is going great, but I've had some interruptions, and honestly, I'm getting a little twitchy because I'm not writing enough, because theoretically, I'm going to have this book out to betas by April 1st, theoretically, and if I don't get some things in gear here, it's not going to happen. But I've had a few distractions. So, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the week of Christmas, it was just, oh, it was a wonderful week. It just really was a wonderful week. And we got to spend time with friends, and that was on Friday, and Saturday was a good day too, you know. Annette and I kicked around and went to the Van Heusen store. I needed some shirts. I wanted to get some long sleeve shirts and start wearing long sleeve shirts to work. I had been wearing polos, but I thought, you know, it's time to grow up and be a big boy and just get some long sleeve dress shirts. And Van Heusen runs a sale, 80% off around this time of year, 70% off. And so went down and found myself 5 dress shirts that I liked. You know, got all that done, and it was good, and Annette and I just kind of kicked around, and then we had made plans on Sunday to go ahead and see Star Wars, and she hadn't been able to see Star Wars because of the IMAX problem. I don't think I talked about that, because it was after I did the podcast on Friday. Then we went to the IMAX to watch Star Wars with some friends. Relatives, actually, both. And we got about 18 minutes into the movie, and there was a glitch to where the sound was a good 10, 15 seconds behind the images. And apparently there's no way for them to fix it. So they just had to refund everybody's money in the sold-out theater. 534 seats. Oh, feel bad. Then we found out later that that had happened at the IMAX theater in Branson twice already that week. That's a killer, having to refund everything. So that was just interesting to go through. And then we had a nice meal with our relatives and Ned's relatives, actually. And so it was fine. So we were planning on getting caught up on Saturday. Gonna go see the Star Wars at the IMAX since we had the two free passes. Get that done. And we're, you know, kind of tucking ourselves in for the evening down there at our little condo that we had rented. And get a call from the lady who's staying at our house. And she says, Phil, there's standing water in the kitchen downstairs. What? Really? Yeah. Well, look up. Is it coming from the ceiling? No, it's not coming from the ceiling. I don't know where it's coming from. She said, but it has been raining hard here for like 2 days. Which they had just gotten a deluge here in Springfield, in this area. In 2 days, some like 10 inches of rain or something like that. It was either a record or the last time it happened was like 1890. I mean, it's just ridiculous the amount of rain and water that hit. And, you know, the ground is saturated. And I mean, it's... So we're like, uh-oh. So we called some friends, had them run over and just take a look at it. And the guy called me. He said, yeah, Phil. He said, I think it's coming through your foundation. Really? Okay, that's fine. So we packed everything up, you know, headed home. So that was Saturday. We got in Saturday night. We just started cleaning stuff out of closets and, you know, pulling stuff and moving stuff around and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So got that all done, kind of got stuff starting to dry out, and then I put in a claim on it because I didn't know if they would cover it or not. I mean, we'd been in the house for 22 years, so I thought, well, you know, is this flooding or is this a failure of the foundation? I didn't know how they classified it. So that was Saturday. Then Sunday, we got up and, you know, we did the normal church thing and came home and, you know, we're just waiting. I think I might have done a little extra work on Sunday on it, kind of cleaning some more stuff out, going through stuff, you know, figuring out what to do here, what to do there. And then Monday morning, I got a call from the insurance agent, or the insurance adjuster, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, I'm sorry to kind of be the bearer of bad news, but, and I had explained to him what I thought had happened. He said, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but, you know, whenever you have any kind of groundwater that exerts pressure on a structure and there's no other factors involved, that's flooding, and, you know, you're not covered for flooding. Okay. Okay, well, there you go. So by Monday morning, I had noticed that it was starting to get musty smelling downstairs. And so as soon as they said that, I just went, okay. So I just, you know, took off from work and headed home. And on the way, bought myself some, you know, X-Acto blades and box cutters. And I just went home. We just started in on it. Started ripping the carpet because we knew the water had bubbled up through the cracks in the slab, the concrete slab that is the floor for our basement. You know, they poured a foundation wall around, obviously, and they put the pitch tar on it, and they put in the drainage around it. But then we poured gravel on the inside, and then they put the concrete slab on top of that. But of course, the concrete slab is going to crack, and it, you know, cracked in several places, and the water had actually come up through there. There had been enough groundwater pressure that it actually pushed up through there. So I knew if we were going to seal those cracks, we had to get the carpets out of there. We just, you know. So we just, I came home, asked my kids if they wanted to come down and have a carpet ripping party, and they said sure, and so they headed down, and so we just ripped out all the carpet. So that was Monday night. And then I put in a call to a guy who they dry things out, so they can come in. Even with our carpets, they could have come in with humidifiers and fans and dried everything out, so we would not have had to rip the carpets out. But since I wanted to find out where the problem was really, you know, the carpets had to come out. There was just no question about that. So that was Monday night. In the meantime, our renters had, the furnace had gone out on the little rock house. I had called someone out to fix it. They had replaced the igniter. Everything had been good for a couple of days, and then it started doing the same thing again. And so I, you know, called the heating and cooling guys back. And, you know, so that Tuesday morning, I was supposed to get together with breakfast for a friend who was visiting from out of town, he and his wife. And so I was bustling around trying to get that. And then that's, I think, when I got the text from our renter, and he said, yeah, the furnace is still doing that thing. It's like, oh, okay, well, we got to get that fixed. And I think I got a phone call that morning as well from my dad. And he was saying, yeah, my gallbladder's starting to hurt again. And, you know, because we never just went ahead and had his gallbladder out, because he didn't want to do that. And so now we've kind of got this hanging thing out there that's like a time bomb. We're just waiting for it to go off. And so all those things kind of came to a head on that Tuesday morning when I'm going out trying to get in the car. And then my car is outside. It's not usually outside, but I had to move it outside because we were moving all the junk into the garage in preparation for getting a dumpster. And my car is frozen, and I can't get the, you know, door open. And then when I do get the door open, you know, then the door's frozen and I can't get it shut. So I'm holding the door shut with one hand while I'm driving with the other hand. And I don't know what's going on with my dad. I don't know what's going on with the furnace on the rock house. I don't know what's going on with the basement. I don't know. It just got to the place where it was funny. I mean, it was genuinely funny. And I was just laughing as I was driving in, because it was just, you know, it's just one of those days when everything comes together. And I was talking to a friend about this, this last Tuesday night. And he just kind of looked at me, he said, you know, did he say there aren't a lot of people or something? He said, I think he said there aren't a lot of people who would react to that situation that way. And he said, don't you think you would have felt just a little more satisfaction with just letting yourself get angry over all this? And I said, well, maybe in the short term. I said, but I try not to live just for the short term, because I know that if you let yourself get angry over those things, that you lay down a little trench in your brain and you make it easier to get angry the next time. And then when something else comes up and you get angry, you make it easier to get angry the next time. And that trench just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper, to where your default position anytime anything rubs you the wrong way is you just get mad. So what I've tried to do over time is just make sure that I'm pausing. You know, that I'm just relaxing and saying, look, it's all going to work out. It's all going to get worked out. And in this case, you know, it is. My dad's figured out that if he just eats oatmeal and drinks milk and maybe has mashed potatoes and gravy, that his gallbladder doesn't hurt. And we finally got him to the doctor this week, and the doctor said, yeah, it's gallbladder, and, you know, your gallbladder's going to be irritated with certain foods, so you're either got to figure out what foods irritate it, just don't eat those foods, or we can take your gallbladder out. Which would you like to do? And my dad took that to mean that he's just going to figure out what foods irritate it because he doesn't want to have the surgery. So that's, you know, that's his decision. If that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. We're tomorrow going to talk about that some more. So my dad's situation is kind of stabilized. Situation with the Rock House actually worked out really well. They came out and they looked at it again, and at first it didn't seem like it was going to work out very well. Getting my mail. Because they came out and looked at it and said, well, it wasn't the igniter after all. It was actually a crack in the heat exchanger, and, we're going to have to replace that, and, I said, okay, how much is that? Well, that's going to be $1,500 to $2,000, or if we replace the whole furnace, it's going to be about $3,000. Okay. But then the owner called me and said he wanted to go out and double-check it, and he, the owner of the heating and cooling business, and he went out and double-checked it, and he said, called me up, and he said, Phil, he said, I've got some good news. He said, this heat exchanger is still under warranty. You have 1 year left on the warranty. He said, so they're going to send us a new primary unit, and it's only going to be like $400. Like, hey, booyah. You know, and they gave us a refund on the other money that they had done. And so, you know, that all worked out fine. In fact, he called me a few minutes later after that, and he said, Phil, he said, I just heard back from the parts guy. And the parts guy says that, he said, it doesn't make any sense me for just send you the primary one. He said, because the secondary one's going to have to be replaced at this point. So I'm just going to warranty both of them. And he said, I'm just going to send them both to you. And so they've replaced out both heat exchangers now. As far as I know, the furnace is working, so that's done. It was a lot cheaper than we thought it was going to be. As far as the basement, our basement's hopefully dried out now. You know, and it was good because we did find some mold on some of the cabinets from a previous thing. We got those cabinets all cleaned out of there, and we got one little spot that I need to scrub with bleach and take care of that and make some decisions there. But, you know, it's fine. It's all coming along. It's coming along. We're using this as an opportunity to clean out a bunch of the junk in the basement that we've had in the basement that, you know, was just time to get rid of stuff. And so we're using this to do that. And so, you know, that's all going to work out fine. Probably just going to get some big throw rugs to throw down. I think I know what the problem actually was as far as why we got leakage, because our ground around here is just rock and clay. I mean, it's just, it is not very permeable to water. But I hadn't paid attention, and we had some settling, and we really weren't pushing the water away from the house correctly. And in fact, we had a downspout that was dumping water right into the side of the house and along the side of the house on the exterior. And that's where we had most of our water problems. So I'm fairly certain now that what happened was that downspout over those 2 days just dumped water into the against the exterior wall of the side of the house. And that built up and built up and built up, and it didn't have any place to go. And eventually it made it down and underneath the foundation wall and then percolated up and, you know, off to the races. So, you know, I think I know what the problem is there. I don't think it's going to be that expensive to fix. We just got to get some earth in to berm up the side of the houses and put some extensions on the guttering. And, you know, I think it's going to be fine. We'll leave the carpets out for the next several years because we're going to sell the house in about 9 years. And so we'll just leave the carpets out maybe until then. And then we'll just watch it. And over the next 9 years, if we don't have any more problems, then we'll say, well, that's what that problem is. It's solved. We're moving on. So, you know, things work out. They work out. But sometimes when you're in the crush of it, when you're in the middle of it and it feels like everything's going sideways, it's easy just to go, whoa! You know? But if you just slow down. Now, I've got something I got to go check right now. It's been raining lightly all day. Theoretically, if the problem was the downspouts, I have new downspouts now. I've got to go check the side of the house, see if the sides of the house is fairly dry. I got to go downstairs. I got to see whether there's water in the basement. If there is water in the basement, then we got more work to do. If there's no water in the basement, well, one day forward, one day thinking maybe we've solved the problem. If water comes back into the basement later, we'll get that fixed too. You know, it's just a day at a time, and everything's going to be okay, and there is nothing to fear. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.